why did Let's Go need writing?
Many people go on package holidays still, although the number is in decline. But the story's never been told, and it's a story of really, you know, of companies which really made it possible for people to travel abroad for the first time in the era before the low-cost airlines arrived. So when package holidays started in the 1950s and 1960s, airfares were very, very expensive, and the average person could not afford to go abroad. So the big tour operators of those times, they made it possible for people to travel abroad and started a cycle of social change, which really did change people's outlook on the world, really.
That's a really interesting point, and I'd like to get back to that in a second. But how far back do you go with the history of package holidays? Because a lot of people will think about, obviously, places like Benidorm being transformed. But do you go back much further?
I do, because the package holiday as we know it in the modern era really started in the 1950s, when people started to fly to places abroad and spend a week there and enjoy the sun or enjoy the mountains or whatever it was. But there's another side to packages, and that's the escorted tour, where you go usually as a group. You have a tour leader who shows you the way. And that started almost exactly 100 years earlier in the 1850s with Thomas Cook. Thomas Cook, in fact, celebrates its 175th anniversary this year. Mr. Thomas Cook himself started in 1841 by organising day trips by train, and rail was new at the time, of course. Railways had just been built. And he started escorted tours in about the mid-1850s, so they've been going for very much longer.
So where did he first start taking people to?
Well, Thomas Cook was actually a Methodist teetotal cabinet maker. He lived in Leicester. The railways had just started. Drink was a terrible problem. The whole of the working classes, and probably other classes too, were on the gin, on all kinds. And there was a big temperance movement at that time, i.e. to stop people drinking, to, you know, to go away from the demon drink. And Thomas Cook's first excursion was from Leicester to Loughborough. It's a distance of only about 10 or 12 miles, and it was for a temperance society, for a rally, to get people to stop drinking. Thomas Cook arranged a tour to Liverpool and produced what's known as, generally considered to be, the first travel guidebook. This would be in the late 1840s. And within a few years, the railways were growing all over the country and indeed all over the world. Within a few years, he was taking people all over the place. He brought people to London for the Great Exhibition of 1851. And then he started taking people to France, to Germany, to the anywhere in the continent. And his business grew very rapidly, and he became a household name, and is still a household name today, and under very different circumstances.
Some people get a bit sniffy now, don't they, about the concept of a package holiday, but there seems to be quite a bit of demand for these guided tours that people go on, where people will often pay top dollar to have a curated experience. So is that a growth area?
Certainly, escorted tours are growing very rapidly. It's mainly because there are a lot more people now over 50 with a disposable income. The majority of people who go on escorted tours are 50 plus. They're perhaps past the first flush of their travels when they were younger. They may have backpacked, they may have gone on package holidays, they may have done all kinds of things. But a lot of people, when they get to about 50, they think, well, I'd rather someone else did all this arranging for me, and I've got the money anyway. I've got my bucket list. Let's tick a few things off. So escorted tours certainly are growing very rapidly. Regarding your question about are people sniffy about package holidays, that's certainly true among people who've never been on one, or at least who think they may not have been on one, but they probably have, because when you say the word package holiday, a lot of people think of a beach in Spain, a high-rise hotel, rather tacky entertainment and food perhaps, but packages cover all kinds of things. And in my book, I cover, for example, far away, or long haul as we call it, could be anywhere in the world. It could be skiing, it could be mountains, it could be cities. The package covers all kinds of permutations, and sometimes a travel agent, be it on the high street or online, will put together a package for you without you even realising it's a package. But this brings me on to a rather more sort of serious point that a lot of people now design their own packages and put things together online, but they may not realize they're not protected in the same way as if you bought a package at a single price from a tour operator.
So it's often the destination that's been associated with package tours rather than the concept that gets the bad press.
Yes, I'm not sure there's so much bad press nowadays. I mean, there was at a time, if you go back to the 60s, I suppose, when there were a lot of half-built hotels. And I think a kind of mythology arose then about the packages. And this was reflected in popular culture at the time as a rather awful film called Carry On Abroad. Well, anybody who remembers a Carry On series, it was a bit of a national institution, but films like Carry On Abroad, and there were one or two of them, they did reinforce this image of package holidays with the lecherous waiter, the dodgy food. And I think that's stuck in the mind of some people, even though those kinds of problems are very, very far in the past. And of course, nowadays we have I suppose it is a sitcom called Benidorm, which I think has gone through six series now. And I suppose, although it's set in the present day, it does reinforce this image. I did actually ask the former director of the Benidorm Tourist Board what she thought of all this, and she told me, well, it's fine. And Benidorm, in fact, had its best ever year.
I suppose package holidays do evolve as well because they just wouldn't survive, and clearly they do survive. So, anybody who has that 1970s stereotypical press review of a package holiday in their memory, they might be surprised at what's on offer now, even in places like Benidorm, which has been much maligned in the past.
Yes, indeed. I mean, places which we think of as sunshine packages, particularly Spain, but also Portugal, Greece, Turkey increasingly, and until recently, Egypt even. People will go and lie on a beach and not do much else. But of course, it's evolved a great deal. There's a lot of all-inclusive nowadays where you pay a single price and you go to a hotel with everything included. It's a bit of a controversial subject because some people will say that it stops people going out and spending money in the resort, and that can't be good for the country. So it's one of the questions which I delve into in the book about what people think about this concept. But it's very, very popular nowadays. It started really with the recession going back 7 or 8 years when families in particular wanted to know exactly what this holiday is going to cost, particularly if they've got young children. They might want a snack or drink or at any time of day, and with all inclusive they have that certainty, but it does mean people don't go out into the resort. They may even never go out of their hotel, and you have to wonder really what contribution they're making to the local economy. Of course they do through the supply chain, but certainly not the kind of holiday I would enjoy, but it is very, very popular.
But from what you've described, that's really no different from a cruise ship, and a lot of people are quite happy to go on the all-inclusives there, primarily because they're an enclosed environment, a captive audience, if you like, so they just take that package, don't they?
Absolutely, yes, and cruising has grown enormously. It's not a subject I cover much in the book because cruising really is a subject in itself. It's a huge growth area, but it brings with it these are, as you say, like floating all-inclusive hotels, and they do bring with them quite a lot of pollution, and they do have quite a severe impact on the places they visit, particularly when they call out a small island and suddenly the island gets swamped with thousands of visitors all coming for a few hours and traipsing around the main sites and then getting back on the ships. So there is an issue about cruising too, but it's not really part of the book in any major way.
I understand, though, that you're a supporter of travel agents, and I guess there is a use them or lose them message here because so many have gone, so many big companies that were household names have gone over the years. What are the real benefits to people who are planning their holidays who are thinking, well, I'll just do it myself, I'll just go online and get an Airbnb or whatever? What's the benefit in actually going through somebody arranging a package holiday for you?
Well, there's two main benefits. One is financial security, because if you book with a package, it is protected by a license from the Civil Aviation Authority if you fly, or if you go on a rail or coach package, that it's protected in other ways. But it means your money is safe. Now, if you book independently, you book your own flight, it could be a low-cost airline, you book your own hotel. If anything goes wrong with any of those arrangements, you're not protected. If an airline goes bust, you have no protection. You may have protection if you use a credit card, but you won't get a replacement holiday, and you will spend a lot of time filling in forms, probably. So there's this financial security question. And the other way you're protected better on a package is if something really does go wrong and you need help. Now, there's been two major examples of that in the last year. One is the terrorism attack in Tunisia. It was a horrific incident. More than 30 people died in that. But the tour operators, including Thompson or TUI, they brought people home immediately. And even tour operators whose customers were not affected by that incident, they just evacuated everybody from Tunisia immediately without any question, a vast cost to themselves. But if you'd just pitched up there yourself and you suddenly thought, oh my God, you know, this terrible incident has happened, I want to get home. Well, nobody's going to help you do that. Will there be any flights? So that's one reason. Another incident of that type was the crash of a Russian plane near Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt last October. And it's suspected that was brought down by a terrorist bomb, although it's never been conclusively proved. But the British government immediately said, right, all flights to Sharm el-Sheikh must stop. And to date, they have not started again. But again, if you went on a package holiday with Thompson, with any of those big names, they brought you back as soon as they possibly could and offered you an alternative holiday. But if you just booked a low-cost flight and you booked a hotel, you were stuck, really, because you may have been able to get home when the airline could arrange that. But if you booked your hotel separately, and say, for example, you were yet to travel when all the flights stopped, you got a hotel booking in Sharm el-Sheikh, which you've made yourself, to a third party, but it's not their problem that you can't get there. So a lot of people lost a lot of money because they'd paid in advance for a hotel, and they couldn't get to Sharm el-Sheikh. They lost a lot. And another issue for a lot of people nowadays, with so much choice on the internet, is the time it takes to put together that package. If you know what you want, fine, you just book your flight, you book your hotel. But there are so many websites, so many deals, the prices change by the minute, and some people get absolutely fed up with that nowadays and say to themselves, well, I may have spent £195 on this package rather than £220 for a tour operator. But it took me hours to find it, book it, and you know, is that really value for money at the end of the day?
Time is money, isn't it?
Absolutely.
David, where can people get a copy of your book?
Well, it's available through the usual channels and also directly on my website, which is historyofpackagetours.co.uk. And anybody who buys from me directly will have a signed copy, and hopefully it'll even be a little bit cheaper than some of the other channels. So you could say I'm the fully protected package, and if you buy the book through some other channels, well, it's not quite the real deal. You won't get a signature.